So we are, myself and my mate Peter, are going to be preaching, tag team preaching this evening, so that's awesome. So the way we'll do it is I'll start out, Peter will come and share, and then I'll close it. But just before we do that, is it possible to turn that off? No, okay. You guys are used to it by now, hey? Just before we do that, to kind of catch us up where we're at, right? So Paulo started us off on Friday, just building a bit of expectation. What are we going to do here? We're going to break down a bit of a house of some of our semi-formed childhood beliefs and try and build something firm on the rock of God's word, which is where we should build all our faith and belief on, right? And what we're wanting to build is the house of understanding what the gospel is. So I started out then on Friday evening explaining that it's always been a plan. Ollie followed that through with the fact that it was an event in history that took place, then what was achieved through that event, and now we're going to carry on this evening the fact that the gospel is a free gift. It's a free gift given to us by God. And then tomorrow we have two more sessions that'll add some more to our understanding of the gospel. Okay, is everybody ready? You got your Bibles, you got your notepads? You can actually just turn that off. Okay, awesome. So, here's the question, guys. We've got to start with a question, right? Okay, so, who has ever worked for a salary or for a wage? Hands up. For pay. Who's worked for pay? Okay. Great. So, that's a lot of us. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us some work. So, imagine this. You worked your butt off, and at the end of the month, your employer's like, sorry, no pay this month. Meg's had that. How would they make you feel? How do they make you feel, Meg? Pretty upset, right? You earned it, right? You worked your butt off. You did something that they either promised a salary for or you were supposed to get a wage for, right? Are we all just still jamming? Okay, let me wait for everyone to sit down. Then we'll carry on. Tensions are not here, clearly. Amen. Okay, should we start again? Has anybody worked for a wage? Okay, so you'd be upset, right? Okay, so has anybody, I'm sure you all have, I hope you all have, received a gift from somebody else? Anybody? Huh? Anybody? Everybody? Okay, awesome. So how did that make you feel when you received that gift? Pretty stoked, right? You felt pretty special, probably quite happy. I think most of us like receiving gifts, especially if it's a large sum of money. But we all like receiving gifts, right? And why do we like receiving gifts? Because we experience the fact that that person has thought about us. They've cared about us. They've loved us. And it's almost a sign of that when they give us that gift and we receive it, right? And so we love to receive gifts. And we deserve a wage if we work hard. And so what's the difference between earning a wage and receiving a gift? One is deserved, one is undeserved. One is earned and worked for, one is given for free. One is from the initiative of the person who's earning it, they work till they get it. The other one is from the initiative of the person who gives it. They love you, so they give you a gift. And so there's a big difference, right, between earning a wage and getting a free gift. I think you guys can see where this is going. I'm going to do an illustration now. So very importantly, who is going to help me with my illustration? Who wants to volunteer themselves? Okay, Seb, I see that hand. You can come, bro. Okay, you're first going to have to help me carry this ladder. Okay, just over there. Yeah. Okay, put it down here. Now you're regretting this, bro. Okay, put it up against the pole. There we go. Let's get a little bit more angle on that. Otherwise, we might fall over. Okay. Oh, don't go anywhere. Stand right there. Okay. So, guys, this is the goodness ladder. The goodness ladder measures how good you are, right? So, if you're higher up, what does that mean? You're more good. If you're lower down, you're bad, you're not so good, hey. So guys, in this room, I need you guys to nominate. Who would be highest on the goodness ladder in this room? Who would be highest? Huh? Sebastian. Come on, Sebastian. Jordy Fisher would be the highest. Okay. She's good. Brilliant. Okay. So who's really at the top of the goodness ladder? In reality. Charmaine, okay. I must agree with that. She's very close. Yeah, that's true. Eh? What's happening up here? Oh, dear. Sorry for you, bro. That thing's going to go in your head. Okay. Okay, so who is the essence of goodness? That's my question. God, well done. You guys are so sharp. You would dominate kids' church. The answer is always Jesus. Okay. No. We'll leave that for afterwards. Okay. So here's our God figure. Can you please climb the ladder to the top? Thanks, Seb. Ben's going to hold it for us. Thanks, Ben. Higher, bro. Higher. God's at the top, bro. Okay, there we go, Seb. Okay, awesome. So God's at the top of the goodness ladder, right? Okay, so Jordy, can you come and be my volunteer, please? Seeing as you are the best person in the room, my other volunteer. Thanks for volunteering yourself. Okay, so Jordy is on her way. She's on a quest to get to the top of the goodness ladder, okay? So Jordy is amped. She's ready. She wants to get to God. She's like, I know he's up there. I'm going to start climbing. I'm keen. And so she starts her mission. Okay, oh, whoa. Guys, I'm enthusiastic. I told you she wants to get up there. So what she decides to do on her quest is she says, okay, I'm going to stop going clubbing every Friday night, and I'm going to stop getting smashed every Friday night. And she climbs one rung for that, because that's really good, right? Okay. Remember, goodness is things you do and things you don't do, hey? So remember that. Okay, then she decides to help out at the animal welfare shelter, so she climbs one more step. Okay, well done. Good job. She's getting there. Seb, get higher, bro. Get higher. Then she stops. Good job. Just hold tight. Then she decides to stop binge-watching series, because that's not a good thing. So she climbs another rung. And then lastly, she really wants to get higher, so she decides to start praying 3 times a day for 5 minutes, morning, afternoon, night. She climbs higher. She's getting there. Jordy is winning at the goodness ladder. But then, the twist in the tale. Jordy is walking in the Neil C one day, and just minding her own business, and Mark pulls along, jamming on his longboard in the Neil C, and he smashes right into her ankle. She falls over in pain. She gets up, and she's like, no, Mark, it's all right. But inside, she is cursing. She's like, Mark, would every evil happen to you? How can you be riding your longboard thing? And then she realizes, oh, no. She's sinned, and so she falls right back down. Can you jump off? Is that possible? Yeah, all the way back to the bottom. And Jordy's feeling pretty disappointed. She's feeling quite sad and depressed because she was doing so well, but then she fell back down. So she goes to bed on it. Wakes up the next day, shakes off the bad feelings. She's like, I'm going to go again, but this time you're going to ramp it up, eh? So what she does is she goes and she helps out at one of the Surf Stellenbosch Wash initiatives. And for that, she gets 2 rungs for that. 2 rungs, come on. Surf Stellenbosch, woo! And then she goes to 4 Sundays in a row, so she gets 1 more rung. No, only one more. And then she decides to start tithing, 10%. And she goes up, 1 more rung. She's getting there, she's doing so well. And a huge one, she decides to stop swearing altogether. So she gets another rung. But then one day, she's sitting at home. She's sitting at home a little bit bored, scrolling through Instagram. And one link leads to the next link, leads to the next link. And unfortunately, she finds herself seeing things that she hoped she'd never see. And she sins and falls right back down the ladder again. And she's feeling really sad and quite dejected. And so the reason she falls all the way back down, right, is because James 2:10 says, whoever keeps the whole law but stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. And so all the goodness that she's tried to accumulate to her account is nullified by just one wrongdoing. And so it's a pretty hopeless case, right, Geordie? She's pretty sad, lying in her bed again, feels like it's done deal. She's never going to get to God. How on earth is she ever going to climb the goodness scale and get to God? It's just not going to happen. So she's feeling quite dejected, not quite sure what to do, and she reaches out for help on her bookshelf. There at the back of her bookshelf, go scratching in her bookshelf, the back of her bookshelf, she finds an old Bible that Granny Petronelle gave her. It's a good one, huh? She opens it up, dusts it off, and starts reading. And as she's reading, she has an epiphany. She's got it all wrong. She gets this part in the Bible, Ephesians 2, 8-9. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not of yourself. It's a free gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And so she realizes she's been getting it all wrong. She's been trying to do all the work, but it's God who's come down to rescue her. It's not of her own efforts, otherwise she would get some of the glory. It's God who comes down to rescue her. And he did, in Jesus. Whoa, we're not done yet. You see, Geordie can't get up the ladder on her own, so God has to take her up on her back. No, fireman lift. Jump on his back. No, not like that. Jump on his back, piggyback. There we go. Hold tight, Ben. Go, Seb. There we go. Nice, Seb. Woo! Good job, Seb. Well done. Okay, you can come down. You can come down. Oh, hot. Trust ya. If you guys are wondering if Geordie's ever sinned, I'm sure it happened right there. Thanks, guys. Shot. Go grab a seat. Thanks, Ben. And so, guys, in all the fun and all the laughter, the goodness ladder is something we actually all sometimes fall for. We try and work our way up to God, right? And in the gospel, in the goodness of the gospel, we realize we can't. We literally cannot even make an effort of a step. In fact, if we'd done the illustration even better, Geordie would have been lying on the ground here playing dead. Seb would have come and revived her, picked her up on his back, and carried her up to heaven, right? And where this illustration breaks down is that, in fact, this ladder is infinitely long. It has no end. And so we can climb as much as we want, but we'll never, ever get to the top. And so there's a bit of a tension created here, right? Do we earn it, or is it a free gift? And just before I hand over to Peter to take us further, there was a tension that the Galatian church, this is a tension the Galatian church was experiencing in their day, and Paul addresses it so beautifully in his letter to the Galatians, which Peter's going to take us through. Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Everyone just take a deep breath.
Leave it there. Dave, leave it there.
How awesome was that that train that we did, eh? It was the legalistic breaking train. Isn't it awesome that we can do that in the presence of God? Can you guys please open with me to Galatians 3, verse 10 to 14? All of you guys with the ESV will get extra brownie points when you get to heaven.
Yes.
That's true. So before we look at the text, I would just like to start off by saying that God's grace towards humanity is most clearly and rightly seen in Jesus Christ, his Son and his saving work on the cross. Jesus came to make a way for sinners to have fellowship with God, and the gift of salvation in Jesus is radically free. There is nothing we can do to earn this gift and earn the love of God which makes this gift possible. So let's just look at the text. Bates, you don't like standing behind this thing. I'm going to hide behind it. Okay, starting with verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Father, as we look at your word and we just expect such great things from your gospel, Lord, as we ask that your gospel would please break through into our hearts, Father, we pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be seen in each and every single one of our hearts as radically free, Lord, radically freeing as well, Lord, to serve you and to honor you and to glorify you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a lot in this text, and my theological brain is freaking out, but I really just want to draw one main point from it, and that is that the radical fact of this gift of salvation in Jesus is that we cannot earn it. The offer of the blessing of Abraham comes to us by faith based on what Jesus has done, and this is a free offer. This is good news. So I just want to briefly look at verses 10 to 11. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. Gentiles, meaning us, receive the blessing of Abraham in Jesus, meaning based on what Jesus has done alone. Every false religion and man-made religion is works-based. There are certain criteria that you have to live up to be able to be accepted with God or to have a higher form of spirituality. This verse says that any form of religion like this puts us under a curse because we place our trust in something outside of Jesus. This could be even our own possessions or our own achievements. Verse 10 shows us that every human being is under a curse because none can live up to God's standard perfectly. Paul is arguing in this text that we cannot keep the law. We are solely indebted to grace. Grace in the New Testament is used to underline that salvation is a free gift. Grace is given to believers in Jesus Christ. Therefore, grace is opposed to salvation based on performance. If salvation were the basis of works, it would cancel out the truth that salvation is a gift given to those who deserve punishment. Boasting would be fitting if salvation were based on works, but since salvation is granted freely, apart from and in spite of what we have done, it is an undeserved gift. David Platt, a well-known missionary and pastor, tells a story of where he was speaking to religious leaders from three different countries, three different religions. They were standing under a mountain in the Himalayas, and he was just conversing with them and asking each one of them, what their religion is. And the Buddha said, no, this is it. You know, this is what you have to do. And the Hindu said, this is it. This is what you have to do. And the other guy, I can't remember what religion it was, said, this is what you have to do. And then David Platt listened intently and said, okay, so I get it. It's basically like we all just started at different point at the bottom of the mountain and we work our way up to the same God. And they said, yeah, that's it. You've got it. And he said, let me tell you about Jesus, about this God who comes down from the bottom of the mountain to meet us who are sinners where we're at because we cannot save ourselves. Now in verse 11, it says, the righteous shall live by faith. Paul shows us that it is by trusting in God's promises alone, revealed in Christ Jesus, that we can be in right standing with him. This is the free gift of salvation. Righteousness cannot come by the law. It cannot come by any of our achievements, and it cannot come by our good works. We have nothing to offer and nothing to bring to the table. We are not justified on the basis of our obedience to God. We are declared righteous with God when we believe in his promise, which is the free gift of his Son. Our righteousness comes not by working for God, but by believing in God. Martin Luther puts it like this. Although out of pure grace, God does not impute our sins to us, he nonetheless did not want to do this until complete and ample satisfaction of his law and his righteousness had been made. Since this was impossible for us, God ordained for us in our place one who took upon himself all the punishment we deserve. He fulfilled the law for us. He averted the judgment of God because of God from us and appeased God's wrath. Grace, therefore, costs us nothing, but it cost another much to get it for us. Grace was purchased with an incalculable, infinite treasure, the Son of God himself. So we now move on to our second and final point, and that is that the radical nature of this gift is that he gives it to his enemies. So the radical fact of this gift is that it is free, and the radical nature of this gift is that he gives it to his enemies. In the first century, when Jesus initiated his ministry, he was ministering in a culture that was very much based on shame and on honor. Everyone was born with a certain amount of honor. People in society could either gain or lose honor. This would happen by winning or losing anything from a debate to a challenge to a fight or to your life even. A very integral part of the shame-honor culture was the giving and the receiving of gifts. What would happen is this. Somebody would buy you a gift and give it to you. By giving you this gift, this person actually gains honor in society. However, if you would return an even better gift, you would gain honor and that person would be shamed or lose honor. You can see how this would play out back and forth. Really, it was deeply rooted in pride and in self-righteousness. But our society is very much the same in a different way. Have you ever gone for coffee or lunch with somebody, and then when the bill comes, the person you went for coffee or for lunch with decides to pay for you? How many of us have ever said, I'll get you next time? Or are you sure? You don't have to. Just stick up your hand. Okay, there we go. Well, what we are really doing there is robbing them of the ability to bless us. See, it is very hard for us to accept that somebody would just pay without us wanting something back. It is our natural inclination, and we naturally struggle to receive. Jesus gave his life freely for sinners, and there is nothing that we can do to repay him. All we must do is receive this gift by faith with empty hands. Someone once said, Christianity is one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. That's all it is. God's grace is generous beyond anything we could ever imagine, and it's free. God doesn't need us to do anything. God doesn't need us to say anything. God doesn't need us to pray anything which will make him love us or accept us more than he already does. Now, these are all necessary outflows of genuine faith, but let us never think that we have done or can do anything to earn our salvation. It is free, free, free. In fact, God is most glorified and most honored, most lifted high when we merely rely on this grace as beggars and thank him that he did everything because we can do nothing. Now, I'm going to go to a quick text, which I wasn't originally going to, but it's just so beautiful. Acts 17, verse 24, when Paul is addressing the Ephesians, I think, at the Areopagus, Paul says to them, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." We cannot pay God back with anything. And he knows that. This is what makes his act for sinners on the cross so radical. Jesus took upon himself the deepest form of shame in a society where honor was of highest importance, so that we could be made right with God. He gave his very life, and it is this life he freely offers to us as a gift. Now my question is, Jesus, who is infinitely precious, eternally beautiful, unmistakably holy, and the most wonderful person in the universe, more or less glorified when we try to pay him back by our good works or even our service or even our lives? He is less glorified because it is like comparing trying to give back a peanut for a mountain of gold. In reality, we actually have nothing to give back for his gift, which was himself. For he is of infinite worth. So none of our good work can ever be a payment to God, because the very work that we do is another gift from God. With every deed we do for God, we go deeper in debt into grace. Do we see how great this love is? Do we see how great this gift is? He is most glorified, most lifted high when we merely receive the gift humbly, realizing there is absolutely nothing that we can do. God's love is not like anything else. It is radical. It is free. It is infinite. It is never ending. It is his Son, Jesus Christ. The verse which most beautifully captures this is Romans 5, verse 8, which says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, it is done. It is finished. Take heart. God died for you while you were still in your sin. He died for you knowing every sin you will ever commit and every sin you have ever committed. And he did it freely by his Son. The radical nature of this gift is that he gives it to his enemies, sinners. Although we cannot comprehend this, may we adore him for this and receive it by faith. I remember when I was in rehab after being addicted to crystal meth. We call it tuk in Cape Town. Yeah, I've accepted that. I decided to go through the book of Romans, and I came across 5 verse 8. And suddenly, I was overwhelmed by the revelation that despite my drug use, despite all of my sinning, despite my rebellion, despite my sexual immorality, Christ decided to die for me even when my life was still lived in hatred towards him. What a wonderful image of how there is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. It is all done for us, and this sets us truly free to live for him. God gets all of the glory. We get none. This is grace. C.S. Lewis writes about conversion. Did I even preach if I didn't quote C.S. Lewis? The man who has passed through it, conversion, feels like one who has waked from a nightmare into ecstasy. Like an accepted lover, he feels that he has not done nothing and never could have done anything to deserve such astonishing happiness. Never again can he crow from the dunghill of desert. All the initiative has been on God's side. All has been free, unbounded grace. And all will continue to be free, unbounded grace. His own puny and ridiculous efforts would be as helpless to retain the joy as they would have been to achieve it in the first place. Fortunately, they need not. Bliss is not for sale and cannot be earned. Grace is not for sale and cannot be earned. On the 1st of December 2015, I ended up in court. I was escorted by two policemen from my home to the courthouse where I stood before the judge. He asked me, "Are you sober? Having used drugs the previous night and not that morning?" I said, "Yes." I was not willing to be sent to rehab because I was still in denial. So I asked for a lawyer. In the meanwhile, two men took me from the court to stay at their halfway house while I waited to see a lawyer. Little did I know, they were radically on fire Christians, and this definitely would have scared me at the time. So I waited a couple of days, and then I remember the quiet evening when grace came knocking, or should I say bombarding, through the door of my sinful, hard heart. They had a cell group meeting one evening, and they made me sit on a table in the middle of the room. Completely normal. I thought, what was going on here? But I didn't fight against it. A pastor with some other fellows, it remains a blur, came through the front door. They knew that they were looking for me. They placed their hands on me and started praying. And the grace and the love of God flooded my heart in that moment, and I started weeping. His free grace came bounding into my life, unexpected, unaware, while I was still a sinner. After this, God's grace continued to soften my heart, and I told my parents I would freely go to rehab. I made another appearance in court, and the judge put a big red line through my case right in front of my eyes. I couldn't believe it. The thing I was always scared of the most, more than death, was going to rehab. Yet, I knew I was free. God's grace had begun its work. This is the free gift which Jesus offers, the free gift of his grace, paid by his blood for us while we were still sinners. And this is the free gift which sets us free, free from sin and free to live for God. As Christians, we are prone to look to ourselves and trust in our own achievements rather than relying solely on the cross of Christ and reminding ourselves that he did it all. Even now in my own life, I am prone to wander from completely trusting and embracing the cross and forsaking all of my own efforts. But may this Easter remind us that we must daily, with bent knees and open hands, bow at the foot of the cross. We can never outgrow the free gift of the gospel. May it be our life's purpose to grasp the gospel more and more, and remember that grace is a powerful, free gift that transforms. I want to end off by showing us how the Apostle Paul illuminates the fact that this gift truly is free in the book of Romans. I'm going to just read the highlighted verses, the highlighted words. Sin, death, sin, death, sinned, sin, sin, death, sinning. But then in verse 14, we find a transition. we see that something changes and we see a glimpse of hope. The atmosphere shifts. Free gift, grace, free gift, grace, free gift, free gift, justification, free gift, righteousness, life. Thank you, Jesus. And this is all found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us while we were still sinners. There is nothing we can do to earn it, nothing we can do to repay him. We must merely receive and live for him. Amen.